you're disappointed, wandering here and there, dragging chains of doubt and loaded down with care. New and holy feeling, struggle in your prayers. Bring your case to Jesus and He will give you rest. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Have you by temptation often conquered fear? Has a sense of weakness brought distress within? Christ will sanctify you if your claim is best. In the Holy Spirit, He will give you rest. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke.
Good to see everybody tonight. Let's go to the Lord God in prayer at this time. Who's got a special prayer request on their heart tonight? Yes, Dwayne. Let's remember him tonight, church. Who else has a special? Lorelai. KJ.
Next, there was a 4-month-old baby in the paper tonight. And I don't know the family.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine what they're going through.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, that's heartbreak right there. KJ. Okay. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Linda. Good. Amen. That sounds great. Stacy. Okay, remember Jim and I see you tonight. All right. Yes, Helen. Okay, unspoken tonight. All right. All right, Tom, you come on, take up our offering tonight, and we'll bless our offering tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy. You can have that one. Third one. That was the stipulation of the deal, was they got microphones.
Of ornery day, a bird away and hairy, much to carry, and to about my Jesus. Feel like I'm feeling, just always stealing, best of all, so feeling, and to about my Jesus. This way with the rain away, passes an empty grave. There ain't no ceiling he can save. Grounds hate about my Jesus. Love is strong and his grace is free. New than is, I know that he can do for you what he just made. Grounds hate about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen. I'm here, the way disappears, God and way the peer, oh, then take out my Jesus. Mom, down, down, you won, now take if you could.
Hallelujah. Little Addie was wanting out of that chair so she could get down here. She's about to wear that fabric out on that chair back there. She's like, let me loose. We're going to have to let that girl loose. Okay. For some reason or other, We've been talking a lot about sin here lately. Good place to talk about, isn't it? Where there are different views of sin. Sin as seen by the sinner, and sin as seen by God. The sinner doesn't see sin like God sees sin. The sinner can't do anything about his sin. God can do something about his sin, though. He can. And I'm going to take you to you probably never thought about this, but Psalm 32. Turn to Psalm 32, and we're just going to cover the psalm. That's what we're going to do. Because there is a sin question, and I believe that Psalm 32 answers the question. If you don't recognize the sin, you won't even understand that you need something done about it. But if you do recognize the sin, you recognize something has to be done about it. It's not whether it can or not. It has to be done about it. No doubt about it. It'll wear you out. Did I say it'll wear you out? It'll wear you out. So I'm not even going to read the psalm in its entirety first. I'm just going to get into it. So let's ask the Lord to bless this psalm, okay? Lord, we are grateful that we're back in your house tonight singing your songs. And we are so grateful, Lord. Hallelujah, that you're our Savior, our Lord, and our Master. And we want you to guide and direct our minds and hearts here for just a little while so that we can see what you would do about the same thing that man sees as not a big problem until he has it. And we just praise you, God, for everything, for all those requests of prayer that was given. We pray, God, again for them that you'll reach in and touch each individual life, and we'll give you the praise and glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now, we all know, well, I need to quit saying that because maybe everybody don't know. That first word is happy. Happy is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now, before you transgressed, you were probably happy. Happy just going on your own way, not giving sin a thought. In fact, you were more than happy to keep going that way. Until the conviction of the Holy Spirit reached out and touched you, and you found out that if you kept on the trail you were going on, hell would be your home. Then it changed everything. That you would go into eternity never to see God, never to feel the mercy of God or the grace of God. What an awful thing it would be. Heaven would not be your home. God would not be your father. Some of your family members would go on without you, never to see them again. So it's no surprise when we read here that happy is he whose transgression is forgiven. There's a pleasurable thing about it. When you say happy, right? I see all these kids are happy, of course, but there's a certain happiness about Addie you just can't explain. It's happy feet. You know, y'all know the penguin, right? Happy feet. He's one of my all-time favorite characters. I love to watch him. Y'all know my line about that, right? He says, "What's wrong, boy?" "I'm happy." "What's wrong with your feet?" "They're happy too." You know, if you're happy, your feet will be happy too. And that's the way it goes. Well, when your transgression is wearing you out, and you know that transgression is forgiven, I promise you, it'll give you happy feet. If it gives you a happy heart and soul, it'll run down into your feet. An older gentleman years ago sat on the front row of the church right over here where James Sage is in Keystone. My dad was a pastor at that time. His name was Mr. Poor, I believe. Am I right, Tom? Tom couldn't tell you. But he sat right down here on the front row, and you could watch him when Dad would begin to preach. And Dad would get into the message, and when he got into it, Brother Poor would just be going like this. And then it got better. Then it got better. And you could see his feet just start like he had a nervous spasm. He had happy feet. And you could tell that old man loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. He knew that his transgression had been forgiven. And all he heard from the Word of God was just pure goodness to him. It was pleasurable to hear the Word of God. And I promise you, if you know that your sin, your transgressions have been forgiven, you want to hear the Word of God because you want to hear what else the man has to say who got your sin forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. You want to hear much more from him. So we come in ready. He not only forgave his sin, I would just let that be it, but he didn't do that. He said, "And whose sin is covered?" Now we know that if you're going to be saved, your sins have to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can cover that. But every sin that you would commit in your flesh after that, and we know that we do because he says we do. Little children, and I quote this all the time because I don't want you to forget it. He says, little children, I don't want you to sin, but if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. You have a place you can go. You have a hiding place. You have a place where you can go and I can take care of it for you. Amen. Not for you to hide. You go to the hiding place so you can see the one who can take care of your sin. Yeah. So he's saying here that sin as seen by the sinner, that it's a pleasure for this sin, this awful sin that gives your life a defect. I don't like to be defective, but if you've got sin in your life, you're defective. You need to go on the return list. You know where they take you back because you're not right? I'll let that soak in. That's from Irwin, by the way, in case you wonder where it's from. Blessed is he and or she whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. So if you know that your sin is a defect and you know you need help from it, you go to him and he forgives that sin and you are one happy individual. It will distort your life. It will confuse your life. You won't know where you're at when sin has a hold of you. You know something has to be done, and you're not going to be happy in a situation where you can't lock your life together. That's why we got so many people who are loosey-goosey and can't figure it out what's wrong with them is because their life is not locked together by God himself. Their sin in their life, they're going to be a confused individual. When he forgives your sin, when he covers your sin, I promise you there is a connection. It's like the old trains over in Irwin. I lived right up from the tracks, and we'd go down, when we go to play baseball down to YMCA, the train track ran right behind the baseball field, and I used to love to see those trains back up, and they were going to get another car or two onto them, and they'd back up and they'd back into it, and you'd hear clank. And then when he'd pull forward, that car came with them. I loved that. But we also watched out for them because when they took off and headed toward Johnson City, they were going very slow. And we could go over the fence, go down to the railroad track, jump on the train, ride up to the ice house, and jump off. You didn't want to go past the ice house. If you went past the ice house, you were in trouble, because once he got across that old road, y'all know when you go into Irwin, used to, the train would come and you'd be held up forever, and then they built that road over it so you could get out of the way for that. Well, when it got past there, you had better be off of that thing. And we did. We, of course, they would have probably put us in detention center if they'd have caught us doing that. But we did it anyway. That's what kids did back then. And, of course, it didn't bother us to tell Dad, you know, that we did it. He'd say, well, you must have done a good job. You got off of it, okay. Because my dad was a hobo, too, in his earlier years. He would hobo a train and go all the way to California. Oh, yeah. He was a hobo. My dad was a hobo. My dad was a lot of things, but one thing he was more than anything, he was a child of God, and he knew how important it was to have his sins forgiven. He knew how important it was to have his sins covered so that Satan couldn't laugh at him. Satan don't have a dog in that hunt when it comes to that. God has complete control. When he forgives your sin, folks, it is absolutely forgiven, and there's nothing there. Watch this. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Don't lay it to his charge. Don't lay it to his charge. There's something about us that we do not want to get into a situation where we're charged with something. Any of y'all ever been charged with speeding? I see heads going up and down everywhere. You've been charged. When he come up and said, I got you going doing this and this, you're charged. You're guilty. He's got you. There ain't nothing you can say. Now, I think they kind of finagle their way out of that by saying, well, I say, well, man, can't you give me a break? And he'd say, I can't give you a break. I got you on radar. That's not so. That's not so. They just tell you that because they need to write that other ticket. But that's okay. Don't speed anyway, right? That's right. That's what I tell everybody. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. He's not laying it to your charge. You may have sinned, but he's not laying it to your charge. There's a reason why. You have asked for forgiveness, he's given it to you, and it's not on your charge card. It's not. You don't owe anything. And in whose spirit there is no guile. I don't know about you, but I don't like deception. Amen? None of us like deception. We shouldn't want to deceive anybody, and we don't want to be deceived. And here he's saying, and in whose spirit there is no guile, there is no deception with your sin. How wonderful it is to know that you can sin and it can be taken care of. I didn't say it was wonderful to sin. I said it's wonderful that you can, and God can take care of it. He can forgive you. He can cover it. He can lay it not to your charge, and he can show it to you so that there is no deception about what's going on. Thank God for that. We need that, folks. That's important. So then he goes on in verse 3, and he says this. Now, verses 1 through 7 takes us all the way down as far as how man sees sin. In verse 3 and 4, we conceal our sin. When we conceal our sin, we face the penalty of the sin. God knows. We conceal, God knows. You can't conceal it from God. I can conceal it from you. By the way, you can't conceal it from everybody down here all the time either. I mean, we may think we have it, but it's not so. It's not so. But we certainly cannot conceal our sin toward God. He sees everything. He says, when I kept silence. Now, here's a man who was healthy in his life. But he knew that if he allowed that sin to stay in his life, it became a health problem. That's why he said, when I kept silence, my bones wax old. Now, he wasn't an old man. He was a younger man. But when a younger man sins and he knows the problem with the sin, I promise you, if you don't get something done about it, if you don't get the right prescription and get into the Word of God and get that thing filled and start taking it, your bones will get old. I don't know if I said all that right or not. Did it make sense? If you've ever been to a pharmacy, been to a doctor, and then to the pharmacy where they called it in for you, you want to get on it right away. I mean, you wouldn't have went to the doctor if it hadn't been something wrong with you. And so when he says, where do you want me to call that into? And I tell him, well, over at Walmart, Brown's Mill. Well, as soon as I can leave there and get over to Walmart, Brown's Mill, I step up to the podium there, and they say, what's your name and your birth date? And I tell them that, well, they know me so well now, they know my name and birth date. Yeah, we got two for you. I want to get that med, and I want to get it in me because my doctor told me it would be good for me. And God's telling us, I'm going to tell you what's good for you. Your sin's not good for you. Your sin's killing you. Your sin is making your bones wax old. You're getting older before you get old. And you're not happy. Who wants to live in a life like that where you're not happy? Sin has a hold of you. It has a grip on you, and your bones are waxing old. When I kept silence, when I didn't tell God what's going on in my life and confess this thing, that's pretty much what he's saying. I didn't confess it. You got to confess it so you can get repentance, get forgiveness for your repentance. You got to confess the thing. You got to know exactly what you're doing. Don't be vague about it. We know what we've done, and let's not be vague about it. Let's say, God, I know what I've done. This is what I've done. He says, yeah, I know it's what you've done. Now, do you want forgiveness of it? Yes, God, I want forgiveness. Then repent of it. Let me see your heart. I don't want to hear the words unless your heart's right. And David was saying, when I kept silence, when I didn't do anything about it, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. How long is a day? I've gone through some days when I wonder where it went. I've gone through some days when I wondered if it would ever come to an end. You know, where you have one problem right after another. Have you ever had a sleepless night? Sometimes they're longer than a sleepless day or a bad day. Yeah. But see, David knew that. He said, all day long, this roaring is in me. All day long, I'm dealing with what's wrong with me. I've got to get rid of this. So when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. He knew that he was facing something that he couldn't do anything about. And if we conceal our sin, folks, it's not good for our well-being. Not only will it bother your heart and your soul, it'll bother your body. It'll bother your body. There are people who are much younger than I am who, because of sin, years and years of sin, look like they're 10 years older than I am. Sin will do it. And I'm not saying that to just about everybody. I'm saying people that I know who have lived in sin, and they would tell you they've lived in sin. It'll destroy your body. It'll destroy the peace of your mind and the peace in your heart and your soul. It will. David knew that, and he wanted to help folks. So he said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Then he said in verse 4, watch this, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. He's noticing a heavy hand. Now, it wasn't a hand that was so heavy that he didn't want it there. I think if you're wanting to get rid of your sin, you want to know that there's a hand there that can help you. But it's a heavy hand. It's not a hand where they're caressing you. It's not a caressing hand. It's a heavy hand. So he said, for the day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. my moisture. This boy had problems. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Sometimes you go through a time when you're a nervous wreck. I don't have many of those, but I've had a few where I'm just nervous about something. You know, sometimes I don't even know what it is. Y'all ever have that? I don't even have a pill for it either, but I don't want one. I'd rather be nervous for a while and get over it. But when I do, I notice that my hands get clammy, cold. You can feel nerves working in your body. Maybe I'm the only one here who does that. I don't know. But anyway, David knew a little bit about this, and he knew how his sin was affecting him. So if you don't want your sin to affect you in this way, David would say to you, get rid of it. And you can get rid of it. You don't want your days and your nights to have this heavy hand on you, and you don't want your moisture turned into drought like the drought of summer. You don't want that. So he says, think about that. You say, I don't see that anywhere. Oh, it says it. Selah. Think about that. Does he want us to really think about it? Yes, he does. If you've got sin that you don't want to confess, you don't want to think about it. But God's saying to us, we better think about it. But more than that, we better think about what it's going to do when we confess it to Him and He takes care of it. He wants us to think about it. He wants us to be happy in this life, and He knows that we're not going to be happy as long as we go on in the condition that we're in. Sin is a killer. That'd be a good place for an amen, wouldn't it? Confession of sin brings a pardon. Confession of sin brings a happiness that you never had before. I assure you it does. The path we follow when sin is forgiven, and as God would lay His heavy hand on us and conquer it, you can't conquer your sin, by the way. Try as you might, you won't conquer it. But God can conquer it. Look at verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Let's go back there. I don't want to read the other part of that until we go back and look at this part, okay? For this shall everyone that is godly pray. If you're godly and you come to this stage in your life, you will pray. And you'll pray unto Him in a time when thou mayest be found. Now, what did He say to you about a time when He could be found? If you're a godly person and you've got a sin that needs to be repented of, I promise you, you won't go to Him and He won't be found. He makes Himself available. He knows your heart. He knows what you've been dealing with. It's not like you just come up all of a sudden and you want to do this yourself for your own good and your own benefit. That's not. He knows your heart. He knows that you've been dealing with this some time, and He's ready now for you to come to Him. God will never convince you to come to Him that He's not ready for you to come to Him. It's like you inviting somebody over to your house and you know they're coming the next day, and you just leave all those dirty clothes thrown everywhere all over the house, dirt all over the floor, this is in the sink, yard's not mowed. Let me think of some other stuff. You know what I'm talking about. It's not one of those times when they don't know you're coming and they say, now, preacher, you'll just have to forgive the way this house looks. I forgave them before I went in. I knew. But if they know you're coming, you know what they're going to do? They're going to straighten up and clean up, right? Well, yeah. When I tell Susie there's somebody coming over, she gets busy. Oh. Okay. Now let's go back to verse 5 and 6. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Are you there? I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. This is where the Lord knew he said this. He's saying this to himself, more or less. He said, I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Think of that. Then he is now ready to go to God in prayer. I've always really liked Pam's way of saying what she says when she says pray without ceasing. That's not something she came up with last year. That's something Pam has said for years, and it's on a lot of her material on Shades of Grace, right? Pray without ceasing. Not just, you don't have to get down on your knees. You can pray in your car. Just don't close your eyes, okay? You don't have to close your eyes to get in touch with God. He knows you, when your heart's getting in touch with him. I love sometimes to close my eyes when I pray, but I know that I don't have to. But when we say bow your heads and close your eyes, then we bow our heads and close our eyes. It's okay. But we pray. That's the main thing. He says, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. You see how he led up to the prayer time? He led up to the prayer time when he says, I acknowledge my sin. God says, oh, he's getting ready to come to me. When you acknowledge your sin, God sees the seriousness of your heart, and you acknowledge it, then he says, unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid, not wanting to hide anything anymore, ready to come clean, as we say around East Tennessee. We're ready to come clean. I said, I will confess. Not I'm going to. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, the one that should be confessed to, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Think of that. Think of how wonderful I feel right now. And so is he ready to pray? For this shall everyone that is godly pray. I know how I feel when I have things in my life that I know God is not pleased with. And I know how I feel when I say, God, here's what I want to do. I want you to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me, cover me, make me whole. I don't want my body to be deteriorated from sin. I don't want my heart and soul to be out of the quiet zone. I want to be restful and peaceful in my life, my soul. I want to be where you want me to be. And until I come to where David says here, I'm not. He said, for this shall everyone, not one or two, everyone that is godly. If you don't want to confess and go to him and pray, it might be a problem. Pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. One of the things I've always been fearful of is getting where I can't swim. And I can swim like a fish, but I've always been fearful of water that I knew the power. I know the power of water. My grandpa almost drowned his whole family on the other side of Irwin, coming off of Spivey Mountain. As you know, when you get down to the bottom, you do know, don't you? When you get down to the bottom coming off of Spivey, there's a creek runs right alongside the road. And it had been like this where a lot of rain had come and the waters had come up on the road. And Grandpa was like, I take it after him because I lost a car trying to think I could go through it too. But he was going to go on through it. But when he got in and the water was deeper than he thought, and it just carried him over into the creek that was swollen and just raging. And he almost lost his whole family, all those that were in the car. Well, that's what he's saying right here in the latter part of this. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. God will take care of you. He's not telling you to go jump in a raging river. He's just saying when the waters get heavy in your life, when the waves are coming over your head, just trust him. He will take care of you. The things that happen in your life. Then in verse 7, he said this. So if confession will take care of things, shouldn't we be willing to confess? That should be the path that we follow, the path of confession. So he says in verse 7, Thou art my hiding place. Boy, I like that. I don't think there's ever been a time that I read that I didn't think of the barn loft. Many of y'all have lived where you had a barn. 1, 2, 3, 4. Is that all? 5, 6, 7. Well, you know, we didn't have big rolls of hay back then. We had bales. And when you got in the barn loft and there was about 150, 200 bales of hay up there, man, could you fix a hiding place? And Mom and Dad wasn't up there saying, now, you better be careful. No, we were engineers. We engineered a hiding place. We could make it to where we could go back in and cut left or right. Nobody would find us. By the way, if it all had fallen down, they would never have found us. 4 days from that, they might have smelled something, but they would never have found us. He says, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Isn't that great? He'll seal you from trouble. That's the preserving is sealing off so that it doesn't spoil. You like that word preserve? You feel preserved as a child of God? You know he sealed you? Say amen if you do. Amen, yeah. If y'all don't say amen me, I'm going to quit. I could have had an amen right there. See, y'all aren't very fast. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I don't know about you, but I love a song about deliverance. I love a song that crescendos about deliverance. That when it comes to the end, deliverance is all over me. Because I know he's the one who delivered me. He took the bonds off of me. He took the weights off of me. I'm delivered. I'm free. I'm an addy. A couple of you caught that. That kid is free. I'm telling you. Better control that kid, Nick. Okay. Then he says, after he says, Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, he said, now think about that. Every one of these, where it comes to a place to where you need to think about it, he says, think about that. It's important that you think about it. It's good for you to think about it. Sometimes it's just good to sit down and think about it. Get away from the TV, get away from the phones, sit down and think about it. Get a special place that's good for you and sit down and think about it. Don't be so hurried in your life that you can't sit down and think about the things in your life that are not where they need to be. You need to hook them up like those trains over there. Hook them up so that when you leave the yard, you're taking everything with you that you need to take. Wow, I sound like an old railroad man, don't I? Yeah. Well, he says, Selah, think about that. Then in verse 8, he changes. Did you notice the difference in verse 1 through 7 and then when you get to verse 8? Because verse 8, it starts with, I will instruct thee. Now, we know that's not him talking there, right? We know God now is saying what he's saying because this is sin as seen by God. And he says, here's what I'll do for you. Not only will I forgive your sin, not only will I cover your sin, not only will I take care of you, well, not only do I want you to have that life you need to have without that sin, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Now, if you get in that level where God sees it and knows what it will do, when you get to that point, he does preventative maintenance on us. This is preventative maintenance. He will instruct us. If we'll listen to his instructions, if we'll obey his instructions, we won't be where David was when he said, I need to have my sins forgiven. I will instruct thee and teach thee in a way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I used to have pretty good vision. I don't have very good vision anymore. I don't like to drive at night in the rain. Y'all, I do anyway, scare people to death. But just because I'm on the left side of the road doesn't mean anything, does it? Destin's looking at me like he's a nut. Just make sure you're on the right side of the road, Destin, okay? He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I like that. I like the instructions for one thing. I'm not, contrary to popular belief, I do not like to jump in trying to put something together without some instructions. Now, I may not be able to read the instructions correctly. In fact, when I get through, there may be a few screws left. But I do want instructions. I do. Unless I've done it a few times and then I know what I'm doing, don't try to come into the kitchen and instruct me to fix what I'm fixing if I've fixed it three or four different times. I know what I'm doing. I bet neither one of you would come in the kitchen and instruct me now, would you? No. But he says here, you don't know what you're doing. You need instruction. So what I'm going to do, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which that you should go. I'll do that. You'll know exactly where you're supposed to go because my word is correct. It's pure. It's true. Everything, it's good about it. He says, I will guide thee with mine eye. Not your eye. You're not going where you see when you're leaning on him. You're going where he sees. By the way, he hasn't been to the eye doctor lately. And by the way, he sees better than GPS. He sees everything. Always amazed me. I'll never forget. I guess it was just my backwoodsy way or my age and other things. But I'll never forget the first time I ever heard that person who's on there say, in a quarter mile, turn right. And I say, you're kidding me. You ain't been on this road. How do you know? And then you get real close to where you're turning off. It says, turn right now. Oh, Lord, why you? Somebody's watching me. Turn right now. That amazed me that that could happen. Now with my intelligence, I have figured out that they sent up satellites so that they could look down and see where Dan is. It's important that you keep up with Dan. So they look down and they say, he's going out 11E and he needs help. So tell him where to go. And they do. Can you imagine God instructing you exactly where to go by his eyes? Because he doesn't miss a thing. Some of you have been on GPS and you went off the wrong place. Now, it may be that it was you, but I know you will say, no, the GPS took me the wrong way. I know you're going to say that because I've heard 100 people tell me that GPS took them the wrong way. More than likely, it was not GPS. But we'll let that go. You can stick to your story if you want to, okay? He says, I will guide you with mine eye. I want God's eye directing me. I want God's hand on me directing me. He said, be ye not as a horse. Now, this is the part I like. I like this. Be ye not as a horse or as a mule. Now we know the difference in a horse and a mule. A horse is easier to take the rein and go where it's going to go. A mule is not so easy, right? Because mules are stubborn. I don't know if mules' brains are less or not. I don't know what makes them that way. That it could be that they're from Irwin. Don't know. But he says, be ye not as a horse or as a mule, which has no what? Understanding. He told us what they're like. Now, I'm not telling you that a horse understands. I'm telling you that horses are easier to train and deal with. My dad had a horse that I took on as a training project, and I had it to where I could shake hands with that horse, shake hoofs. I could just pat that horse on the side and say, give it to me. And he'd lift that leg up and hold it there just for a second. And it was back down. Keep your foot away from his. But anyway, he didn't have understanding. He was just trainable. And when the Lord says he doesn't have understanding, knows exactly what he's talking about. And he's saying to us, now don't go around without understanding. If you'll read my word, I can give you understanding. I like to deal with people who have an understanding, who don't just know that. Let's just use the football game tonight. They don't just know about football, that there's a field, there's players, there's a odd-looking ball, and they do this with it and they do that with it. That's knowledge of a football field, of knowledge of football. But they don't have understanding of football. There are so many things about football that you have to spend years with it before you would understand it. Ask any coach, they'll tell you. Any coaches in here? Thank goodness. Mike, tell us, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Say amen.
Amen.
So, be ye not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, but don't you dare say your kids like this now, okay? Y'all don't have any understanding about this game at all. You're like a mule. They'll go home and tell you, their parents, you called them a mule, right, Mike? Which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle. Now, there's another place in the God's Word where it says, he wants you to be led either with bit or bridle. Now, the bridle is the easy way to go. When you put a bridle on the horse, there's nothing in the mouth. If the horse does not do well with the bridle, then you have to have some way of control. So you put a bit in the mouth. Now, for some of you who are quingy about this, when you put the bit in and you pull it a certain way, it hurts the horse's mouth. And so they're quicker to catch up to where you're going. So you just have to barely touch that rein for that horse to go where you want it to. A good horse, you just lay the reins on the side of its head and it'll go wherever you want. I love horses. And y'all got horses? I'll ride them for you. No, I won't. I've given it up. My dad, I'll tell you this. My dad come over to the barn one day, and we were going to get on the horses and ride a little bit. And my dad got on his horse, and he started up toward the barn. And the horse evidently remembered the last time he was up there, I'd given him sweet feed, or her. She was a her. I'd given her sweet feed. And about halfway up there, she took off her own head and took off. And I thought he went out of sight. And when he went out of sight, I heard him say, "Oh!" I thought he was still on the horse. He was not. He was laying over on the ground with some ribs cracked because the horse took a fast left, and he was not a rodeo rider, and he didn't get there. He says, be not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit or bridle. God would rather you be with bridle rather than bit. He will put the bit in your mouth if he needs to. Now that's the key point tonight, if you want to take that and write it down. He'll want you to put the bridle on, let him lead you through his instructions wherever you want to go. But if you don't want to obey him, follow him, and you're one of his children, he will whip you, like I started to say, like a redhead stepchild, but I don't guess I should say that anymore. Because I was redheaded back when I was a kid, right? But we make that statement. I'm going to quit that. Y'all help me quit it, okay? Whose mouth must be held in with the bitter bridle, lest they come near unto thee. God knows where we are, folks. He knows what we need. He knows what we want, but he knows more about what we need. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth, by the way, there's a word that it's not a once a week trust. The word trusteth means that when you got up this morning, you were trusting him. When you get up in the morning, you're trusting him. When you get up Tuesday morning, you're trusting him. You continue to trust. There are not one day on, one day off. You trust. That's what he means by trusteth. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord. Boy, I like that. Mercy. Mercy shall compass him about. You know what he's saying there? I wish I had, Tom wouldn't come up here. But to compass him about means that he comes in all around you. You're completely covered. There is no way that anything can come into your life at that moment. You are compassed about. That's what he said. He says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. It'll be there. Be glad in the Lord. The Lord wants to guide us. He wants to direct us. He wants to control us. You know, sometimes relationships don't go too far if there's a control person in the relationship. I didn't hear an amen, but I've seen a few heads. If you're afraid to say amen, let me know and I'll get you help. I want God to control me, don't you? I do. So he says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, the joy that he's given you, bring it up again and again. Go through your whole day rejoicing. You can't rejoice for a moment and then go away, and that's not the way you rejoice. Rejoicing means that you bring the joy back up all that day long. Rejoice, you righteous. That means you're right with God. That's all. Don't be afraid of the word righteous. You can tell people, I'm righteous. Yeah. I'm holy. I'm going to heaven. And if you're not holy, you're not going to heaven. I'm holy because he's holy. I'm righteous because he's righteous. But I am. And if you have to explain it to him, go ahead. But he says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout. Right, Tom? And shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Is your heart right? If your heart's right, if you're upright in heart, you can rejoice, you can shout. Man, it's a good way to live. Not just to have for a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, but every day, every day. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're thankful for what you've done for us today. We're so grateful for the services today and how they've touched the hearts of people. I pray, God, that we take what you've given us today as we go into tomorrow. I pray, oh God, that will be something for you, that will make you happy that we're your children. And we're going to praise you for everything you do, everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.